Today on Real Life Radio.
How in the world would you expect to go to heaven? Well, Jesus promised me. You don't have any promises. Because if the Father can't keep them to Israel, then what responsibility does Jesus have to keep his promises to you? Thank God he keeps his promises to Israel, and he shall keep them.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with the message titled, What We Know For Sure, Part 1. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why it really matters in our lives today. You see, the Bible delivers the promise of things to come. With great confidence and peace, the followers of Christ can take comfort in Bible prophecy. Global news has overwhelming indicators that Jesus is returning soon, and we need to get ready. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that recent global events tell us that we are living in a time when people are unsettled and questioning everything. It's as if all eyes are now on God looking for answers. Now, with his message called What We Know For Sure, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Every believer within the hearing of my voice, you are to be looking, scanning, observing the horizon for what? The blessed hope. Let's see what it is. And the glorious appearing. I'll argue with you today that it is not the coming of Christ, but the appearing of Christ. Big difference. The appearing of our great God and Savior. It's one and the same. He's one and the same, I should say. Who is it? Jesus Christ. This verse keeps cult members up late at night because it screams about the fact that the Christian is to be watching constantly for his coming, which means there's no warning per se, exactly. And then secondly, that he is the great God and Savior, because the Bible teaches there is no second or third. No wonder why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Why? Because he is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the great, great verse that you ought to have over you. Number two, listen to this. This is very, very much fun. I'm going to give you five references, each one from the five chapters of the book of Thessalonians. When Paul preached in Thessalonica, by the way, on one of those maps, I could have showed you where that is. Here's the thing, though. When Paul came preaching the gospel, he came into the region of Thessalonica, and scholars all agree that he was there somewhere between 3 to 4 weeks. That's it. He preached, there were no Christians. He preached, pagans began to accept Christ. He set up a church and he moved on. And 3 to 4 weeks later, or sometime later, he writes them a letter, I should say. I think it was actually close to about a year. He writes a letter back to them because he heard that they were panicking, that they had somehow missed the last day's events. Notice this with me, and I'm going to make it pretty, what's the word, demonstrative. I will really let you know. Notice this, mark it down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for his son from heaven. You are to be waiting. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You see the word wrath? You ought to circle that. And you ought to say, this is not talking about hell. This word has nothing to do with hell. This word has everything to do with God's wrath that's going to be poured out upon the earth for a Christ-rejecting age or world. You need to know that. It changes everything if you understand that. They were panicking and they were afraid and they thought they missed his appearing and that they were going to be going through the wrath and the judgment of God. And Paul tells them, nope. Or in Hebrew, it's lo. Lo. I like that. Lo. Yes is Ken. Ken. Lo? No. Paul, didn't we miss it? Lo. No, you didn't miss it. Keep looking. Keep watching. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, says Paul, or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming or at his appearing? Chapter 3, verse 13. He says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. How many of you know someone who died believing in Jesus? Raise your hand. They died believing in Jesus. They're coming back with him. That's the reference with all his saints. That's why you'll see in a moment, watch how this builds. It's going to explain what that means. What do you mean he's coming with all his saints? I thought you'd ask. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring, hello, with him those who sleep or died in Jesus. By the way, please remember, sleep is referring to their bodies, not their souls. There is no such thing in the Bible as soul sleep. That's a cultic view, and it's unbiblical. Verse 15, for this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Watch what happens, and this will prove the argument. What appears to be asleep? He's going to tell us. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And here you go. The dead in Christ will rise first. Bodies will pop up out of the grave. Pop up. you don't buy these things very often, but when you do, it's kind of cool. When you buy a new toaster. When do you buy a new toaster, but like twice in a lifetime? One of the great attributes about a toaster is that when you put the toast in and you toast it for the first time, you better be ready. When that thing's done, that toast comes flying out of there. You can even grab it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That toast comes shooting out of that toaster. According to the Bible, listen, God is going to shout the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and boom, like a toaster. Forest lawn, think about it, Rose Hills. Wow, look at that. There's going to be all these Pop-Tarts coming up. Amazing. The Bible tells us, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, the word rapture, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That should be a great comfort. Listen, let's be honest. If you're a Christian, but you're sleeping with Bubbles or Rocky, and God has been saying to you, you ought not to be doing this, or you're getting, dabbling back into the old world of drugs, but now you believe in Christ, and Jesus is saying, come on, get out of that. We don't do that anymore. Or you're snooping around and looking in places you ought not to be looking. And the Holy Spirit says, you belong to me now. Stop it. You know what? Listen, what ought to be very comforting is when we say, Jesus could come back today. You always see the Christian who's not walking right with God. They go like this. When you say, oh man, I hope the Lord comes back today. And they go, yeah, okay, right on. Really? They're a little nervous about it. Hey man, the Lord can come back today. The only time I see hesitation with that is at a wedding. Before I walk out here with the groom-to-be, I say, man, isn't it be great the Lord came back? Why don't we halfway down the aisle, the Lord comes back. And he goes, oh, no. How about one more day? It's great. It's always fantastic. But the person that is the Christian not walking with God doesn't like to hear about this. But it's exactly what you need to hear. He could come back at any time. He wants you to love that hope also. And look, if you're not a Christian, you should just panic right now, right where you're at. I mean, we've got defibrillators and nurses and doctors all over this place. You ought to have a heart attack. You ought to just have a heart attack right now. Because if you knew that you're one breath away from eternity called hell, you'd shut me up. You'd get up here. You'd get on your knee. You'd say, get out of my way. Stop talking, Pastor. I need to get saved now before something happens. Think about that. It's exactly. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Five chapters, five exhortations about his imminent coming. For God did not appoint us to wrath, that is the wrath of Almighty God, his vengeance that's coming upon the earth, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's great news. And so in our current global situation, church, we see an awakening taking place. An awakening. I don't mean just spiritually. In all kinds of ways. This is how we know we're living in amazing days. When I say awakening, bear with me when I say Iran. Persia is awakening. China is awakening. North Korea at this hour is awakening. Russia is awakening. For the last 4 years, these players have been contained by large degree. You need to know that. So number one, we look at this. Number one, I want you to mark this down. What we know for sure is all eyes are on God. So that's a huge statement. All eyes are not on God. This is what I mean by this. People are awakening and they're asking questions about God and the end of the world and what's up next. There are atheists asking the question. People are jarred. In a recent poll, some 70% of Americans thought that we'd be at war within a year with Iran, Persia. Not because we want to, but because of what they're doing. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 says, who has declared this from ancient time and who has told it from that time? Have I not I the Lord? That there is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Notice what he's saying. This is the result of that reality, that truth. Verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. In the midst of all the shaking that is now beginning to formulate and the posturing, it's God's will right now that the world wake up to these things and understand God's in control. He knows exactly what's going on. It's been said that recent events, both in our nation and the world, have revealed to us that we are all living an unprecedented time, that these times just might be with us for a while. Nobody wants to hear that. But they're starting to make comments. They're starting to say things. And I've got news articles that I may or may not get to this week, but certainly by next week. People are beginning to question everything, and so we should. People are unsettled. People are looking for answers. And that's what I mean by all eyes are upon God. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, Haggai 2, 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Listen, he's not poetically speaking here. This is not God writing a play. He means it. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. That's the hope of the gospel. I will fill this house, speaking of his temple, with glory, says the Lord Almighty. God knows what's going on in the nations, church. He knows what's going on. And there's a healthy and a much needed, I'm going to get mail for this. There's a healthy and much needed division taking place in what is called church. It needs to happen. People groups, religions, this is necessary. It's increasing every week. We need to remember something that in Hebrews 12:28, the Bible says, therefore, since we've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, isn't that great? Let me interrupt myself right here, right now. The world is shaking. Some people are shaking. God says, wait, wait, come to me. Let me hold you. You don't need to shake your mind. Don't stop shaking. our little dog, she never shakes, but for some reason last night, you know how little dogs usually shake? She doesn't. But she was shaking. It's too cold for her. So you know what? The moment we picked her up and held her, it had to be a minute that she stopped shaking. She looked scared, but she was cold. There are people that are shaking today. They're Christians. They love the Lord. But doubt and fear has gotten into them, and they're shaking. And God is saying, come here, come here, come here, come here. It's funny because he's saying, come here. And so you need to let him pick you up. And he says, listen, I'm going to take care of you because my kingdom will never shake. But he goes on in the passage, that verse in Hebrews, he goes on and he says this. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh my goodness, godly fear is an awesome thing. Godly fear is godly awe. It means awe. Beautiful. For our God is a consuming fire. It's the will of God that you come to the saving, loving, and forgiving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the will of God. All eyes on God. People are beginning to look, and so they should.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I think we have a slide under this point. Is it number four, you guys? Is that what we're looking at? Is that the right one? No? Okay. New York Times, May 15th, 1948. All eyes on God. People say, well, I don't know about all eyes on God. Wait. We've mentioned this before. We need to mention it again. Headlines. Saturday, May 15th, because Saturday, May 15th follows Friday, May 14th. May 14th was the day that Bible prophecy was fulfilled. And the New York Times says, Zionists proclaim new state of Israel. Truman recognizes it and hopes for peace. Tel Aviv is bombed. Egypt orders an invasion. Did you know that Israel was attacked one day after they were born? They had no army, but they won. How does that happen? God has done this. Absolutely amazing. You say, how does that play into anything? It plays into everything. Hear this loud and clear. In fact, modern day liberal theologians hear this loud and clear. Those of you who are embracing replacement theology, let me say this to that heresy. If God does not fulfill every promise he has made to the nation of Israel, then we Christians have no promises at all. He said his covenant with Israel was everlasting. He said, I will bring you back from the ends of the earth and place you in your own land once I begin to move. You saw the headline, evidence of a fact. People look at it, well, that's a nice headline. Are you kidding me? That's Bible prophecy fulfilled. We'll study it later, Isaiah 66, but that's a fact. You know what's awesome about that headline news? You can look at the New York Times on Saturday, May 15th, 1948, and say, isn't God good? And my Bible's true. Because if God doesn't keep his promises to Israel, you ain't got nothing. How in the world would you expect to go to heaven? Well, Jesus promised me. You don't have any promises. Because if the Father can't keep them to Israel, then what responsibility does Jesus have to keep his promises to you? Thank God he keeps his promises to Israel, and he shall keep them. Remember, we've been grafted in to what the Bible says is the commonwealth of Israel. We're going to go to heaven because the gospel came to Israel first. We need to remember that. All eyes are on God. John's gospel tells us, beautiful setting, amazing moment, by the way, in John chapter 4, verse 34, the Bible says there, and Jesus said to them, this is his disciples. You know, Samaria, many of us have been to Samaria. It's not the safest place to be at today. It's under Palestinian rule. It's beautiful, though, the region, the topography. So Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and it's time for them to eat. And so the disciples go off to buy food, and Jesus just stays there by himself. And the Bible tells us that a woman came from the city to get water in the middle of the day. So what does the Bible say that? I don't know if you guys know this or not. Respectable women got water in the early morning. If you were a prostitute, a hooker, or just didn't have a good reputation, you had to go in the middle of the day when it was hot and you were not seen with other women. The other women would not have you be seen with them. So this woman coming, she has a reputation. And Jesus says to his disciples after this amazing event, because this is where he says to her that, I have water to give you that if you knew, you'd be asking me for water. Because it's kind of a, I don't want to get off this, but it's kind of a cute moment. Jesus is standing there and she comes by and she has her pot. And he says, can you give me a drink? Now that's a shocker, because Jews are not allowed to talk to Samaritans. But Jesus was first God before he was a Jew. And so he says, can you give me a drink? And she said, if you knew. And obviously I'm paraphrasing right now. She said, why do you ask me for a drink? You're a Jew. And Jesus says, well, the truth is, in response to your question regarding worshiping God, if you knew who you were speaking to right now, you would ask me for a drink. And he makes mention to her, why don't you go get your husband? And she goes, I don't have a husband. And he says, oh, you're correct, you don't. You've had four or five husbands, I forget the number, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. And she just went, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And she takes off and she goes and tells the Samaritan citizens, I found the Messiah. And so they all came out. The interesting thing about Samaritans is that they really, really maintained and wore white robes. So Jesus says to his disciples, they've come back and they're going, what's going on? And look what Jesus says to them. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then the harvest comes. They're 4 months away from harvest. It wasn't the season for farming. So they're like, what? Jesus says, behold, I say to you, look, the word behold is look. So it's an active. Are you with me, everybody? Yes. Look, you guys, look, you 12. I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What We Know For Sure, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, I want to excite you about our featured item of the month, and this is a tremendous book. Listen carefully though, it's a very small book in size, but it is gigantic in power. I'm talking about A.W. Tozer's classic, The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it. In one of the chapters, he has labeled The Blessings of Owning Nothing. What could that possibly mean? Well, get a copy for yourself and find out how liberating and freeing that this little book can be in your life as A.W. Tozer takes the Word of God and opens it up to you in a very sweet and personal way. The Pursuit of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer.
The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Bible prophecy, it's a fascinating subject, especially when it relates to current events. Now, you know, Pastor Jack can really dig in when it comes to prophecy and end times. You can watch Pastor Jack as he and his special guests discuss what the Bible says about the future, with topics like conflict in the Middle East, how our nation has turned its back on morality, and, of course, the global pandemic. You're sure to discover how it all lines up with the Bible and what God's plans are for His church in the end times. You can watch episodes of Happening Now when it's live on Facebook, also from Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.